San Luis Obispo County. Would you roll call, please?
Commissioner Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Moltari?
Here.
Commissioner Campbell?
Here.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Here.
Chairman Harrison?
Here. Would you all join me for the flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now it's time for a public comment. I have one request for a comment from Eric Greening. Please come to the podium, and you have 3 minutes, Eric.
Thank you. Good morning. Oops. And I turned it off. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and my topic may not at first seem to be under your purview, although within the expertise of one of your members. Have faith. At your purview, we will soon arrive with questions for planning staff and your commission. A few days ago, a story appeared in the Tribune about the long critical letter the city of SLO wrote in response to the Cal Poly Master Plan, DEIR. The author interviewed someone from Cal Poly who was not Ms. Hawkins, although I wish it had been, as she would have given answers that would be more precise and raise fewer questions. Two main themes emerged. The city is currently in some sort of continuing conversation, perhaps negotiation, with Cal Poly about the master plan and EIR, and Cal Poly is carefully making sure all public comments and questions are responded to, and the story made it sound like it was being responded to by Cal Poly staff. The second point suggests movement toward a final EIR rather than recirculation. But if this is the case, it is not the job of the project applicant to respond to EIR comments. It is the job of the consultants, whose independence from the applicants is essential to a legally sound process. The first part raises the question, did the county make comments on this as the city did? Where may they be found? Does the county now have a seat at the table in the conversations and negotiations in which the city and Cal Poly are active? I know JPAs, of which the county is a part, have responded to the EIR, SLOCOG, the RTA, the APCD. Cal Poly is outside city limits, and what happens there affects the county just as it does the city. So questions. First, for Ms. Hawkins, should she choose to answer, has a decision been made on moving to a final versus recirculation? If moving to a final, are the distinct roles of applicant and consultant being honored? And if conversations with the city result in changes to the project description, won't recirculation be needed anyway? If recirculating, can a different consultant be chosen to do a better job? Second, for planning staff, are there county comments, and where can we find them? And is the county in on conversations with the city and Cal Poly? And if not, do resources or board direction need to be sought to make it possible? Third, for your commission, depending on staff's answers to the questions directed at them, would it be wise for you to agendize sending a letter to the supervisors underscoring the importance of providing the needed resources or authorizing participation in the conversation? Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Seeing no other public comment, I'll close public comment. Coming back to the board, it's planning staff updates.
Karen Nall with planning staff updates. I don't have too much for you other than we will be canceling the March 8th meeting as we have no slated items on that agenda. And then looking past, we don't have much agendized, so we will let you know if other meetings will be canceled in the future. Staff is trying hard to put many items on agenda so we can save your time for coming down, and we appreciate that. The only other item would like to note is that the permit center will be closed on Friday. This Friday is kind of unprecedented for our department. And the following Tuesday, because we're starting a new permit tracking system that's going to be started this weekend. So if anybody has frustrations with that, let us know on Tuesday. And then to speak to Eric Greening's comments, I'm not aware that we made comments as the planning department. I'm not aware that Public Works or General Services, other divisions of our county, have made any comments regarding the EIR for Cal Poly. That's something I probably should check on and report back.
I can answer that. Cal Poly did get comments from Public Works and from Parks from the county. Regarding county roads that are on our property and regarding the Chorro Valley bike trail that is proposed to go through Cal Poly's property. To answer Mr. Greening's other questions, I'd like to read the article that you're referring to. We're still working on our approach, so I don't think that a decision has been made about final versus recirculating yet, but I'm not sure who they interviewed. And that's it. Thanks.
Should have interviewed you. Does any of the staff member have anything they'd like to comment at this time? Or
Commissioner?
I just have one. There's really not a place on the agenda for commission comments, but I was wondering if next time we do a zoning code update, if it wouldn't be possible to consider making these cell towers something that could be a minor use permit instead of a planning commission use permit and appealable to the planning commission, because it seems like we're getting an awful lot of them, and with rare exception, they're not controversial, and it seems like something staff could handle. So maybe next time we do that, if I don't know if we have to get direction from the board for that kind of change, but maybe we or staff could ask for that direction if there's agreement on something.
I support that.
Just responding, the current ordinance requires new towers to come to the CUP to a conditional use permit. Well, that can be noted as a future project. We have a planning priorities report this Tuesday with a laundry list of items, so I can take that forward to our management as a request from this commission.
Thank you. If that, I don't know if we can actually formally request that.
Right.
Maybe staff could think about that. Thanks.
If that changed to a hearing within the planning commission, et cetera, is that open to public comment?
Absolutely. It would be a change to the land use ordinance.
Okay.
Yes.
And would that take a general plan amendment?
It would. Yeah. It's an ordinance amendment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some cell towers that don't come to this commission, correct?
If they're co-locating, the cell projects are co-locating on an existing tower, then it is a minor use permit.
Specifically, if a person built a tower supposedly for his own use and then leased it to...
I actually won't speak to that one because that's an actual project. So once again, Commissioner Harrison, if you have questions about certain items, please email me before the meeting or after the meeting.
I was just wondering why they decided to do that at the planning commission. They're planning and not bring it to the commission. And if they're doing that one that way, why couldn't we do all of them that way?
Once again, I won't speak to that item.
That's fine. I understand. Our next item of business is a consent calendar. Does anyone have any comments on the consent calendar?
None here.
I'd move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
I have a motion and a second for approval of the consent calendar. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Would you like to introduce the next... item, please. Ramona.
Item number two is a request by AT&T Mobility and April Devine for a conditional use permit. County file number DRC 2016-00046, Supervisorial District Number 5, Project Manager Kate Shea.
Good morning. I am Kate Shea with County Planning Staff, and this is a conditional use permit for a new wireless facility. The project would allow the construction and operation of a new wireless communications facility to provide new high-speed wireless broadband internet service to the surrounding community. This would be constructed with a new 60-foot-tall antenna support structure disguised as a pine tree, referred to as a monopine. This would consist of 12 8-foot-tall panel antennas, 2 6-foot diameter dish antennas, and also support equipment within the branches of the monopine. Also proposed is a new 137-square-foot equipment enclosure, a new diesel standby backup emergency generator, associated equipment, all located within a 20-by-30-foot lease area, surrounded by a 6.5-foot-tall wood panel fence. The project is located in the North County planning area, approximately 5.5 miles east of the city of Paso Robles. The project site address is 5658 Prancing Deer Place. The proposed project is within the agricultural land use category on a 2-acre parcel currently developed with a 1 single-family residence and is surrounded by 1 to 2-acre sized parcels of the same land use category and similar uses. This aerial photograph shows the existing subject parcel with the proposed lease area in hashed pink and the new proposed access driveway to the site along the easterly edge of the parcel. So what you see here is a zoomed-in area of the lease area, and this shows the specific placement of the facility itself and the proposed internal access. Here. And then the lease area with the equipment pad highlighted in light blue, the 60-foot-tall monopine adjacent. And then I'd like to point out that in this particular case, the facility will be located internal of the parcel with a 30-foot side setback from the nearest property line, and that is consistent with the standard side yard setback for 1-acre parcels or larger. And then the gated access to the facility itself is placed on the interior portion of the lot. Just for reference, here we see the antenna layout plan. And we'll just quickly go through some elevations. So this is from the northern elevation. Actually, no, this is facing north, rather. Facing east. West elevation. And then we are at the photo simulation. So this is from Prancing Deer Place. The view is northeast, and here you can see the proposed monopine. If it's easier for you, I can show you this way. Again, this is facing, actually, this is from a perspective of northwest, just to clarify, from Prancing Deer Place. So this is the existing, Here we have the existing single-family residence on the proposed project site with the proposed monopine in the background. And then this is a view from the front yard of the subject parcel from the property owner's front yard. And here again is the proposed monopine. So this slide shows a map of the proposed coverage that would be provided by this communications facility. Again, this project proposes to provide new high-speed broadband internet service that is mostly unserved in this area. With that, staff's recommendation is to adopt the mitigated negative declaration and approve the conditional use permit based on the findings in Exhibit A and conditions in Exhibit B. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions.
Questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, thanks for the report. Very clear. I did have a couple of questions.
Sure.
This is a part of the county that I don't get to very often, and was kind of interesting to go out there. My first question is, the adjacent property, there's a building that's within 40 or 50 feet of the site. From the street, I couldn't tell what that is. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I'm familiar with that. I looked at that as well. That is an accessory structure, most likely an ag support structure, since this is an agricultural land use category. Appears to be an ag support structure.
Okay.
Accessory dwelling or accessory structure.
Yeah, it looked more like a, perhaps like an office or studio type thing, but I couldn't tell. Anyway, and the other thing, driving around out there, I didn't see too many 60-foot tall pine trees, but there are quite a few eucalyptus trees. And what was the rationale besides, I mean, a fake tree is a fake tree, but sure. Would the eucalyptus be more in keeping with the area?
We did consider the monopine based on the fact that the subject parcel and the adjacent parcel to immediately to the east have planted pine trees.
Pine trees,
much smaller at this time, but with irrigation would probably help to blend the monopine.
Okay, thanks.
I just have one question. In looking at this and seeing obviously the houses more clustered towards the road, Prancing Deer, why wasn't this located further back in more or less no man's land compared to where it is?
Sure.
Wide open space back there that it would just be more appropriate from the visibility standpoint, but that's also a question for the applicant, I guess.
Absolutely. I was going to defer to the agent. As far as the proposal and the necessity case that we require in these instances for these types of projects, it was made clear to me that the intent of this service is to get as close to proximity of their users as possible for this high-speed wireless internet. And in doing so, the applicant's team looked specifically for a knoll or a high point.
Correct.
But they may have a more thorough response.
Thank you.
Would the applicant like to come forward and answer that question? Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jerry Ambrose. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. The short answer to your question is that the property drops off dramatically after where our proposed facility is. It essentially goes into a hole down below, so it's a dramatic elevation drop.
Thank you.
That's why we are where we are. I also wanted to add that the, of course, with the if this project is approved, we have to comply with the county's noise ordinance. The property owner had actually asked us to analyze the noise. Unfortunately, that we did a report, but unfortunately, it came out late last night, so I hadn't had a chance to provide it to Kate. But what that report shows is that in lieu of just a regular fence, we should have a wall there to make sure that we can comply with the county's ordinance. So if you were to approve the project, we'd ask that there be some flexibility on what we do to surround the lease area with. That'd be a solid wall, either with a wood fence on the outside or perhaps a faux fence look on the outside of the wall, a slumped stone wall. We're flexible on any kind of design that the county would require. But just wanted to bring, and I brought copies of the report.
And this would be for the testing phase periodically of the generator that you're talking about?
This would be primarily for the AC units.
Oh, if the AC that are going constantly.
It would also help the generator, of course, because there would be a wall there. But the generator itself would probably exceed the levels, but there are some exceptions in your code, principally related to the fact that the generator would only be used if there's, say, an earthquake or a major fire. Everybody goes to their phone. So most likely would not be worried about noise levels when everybody's trying to communicate.
What is the coverage right now? I'm looking at the coverage map. Let's see, that is page, well, I don't know. there's a hole through it. Something of 14.
This. Yeah, I saw there was a slide there. So this is a new technology, so technically there is no coverage
right.
of this particular frequency and model.
Okay.
So everything that you see on that map is
high speed.
New.
Sorry.
Any other member have comments, questions? I have one question. On page 3 of 12, you say the access road is going to be 15 feet unpaved. And on 11 of 12, the fire department requires a minimum of 16-foot wide all-weather road.
Yeah, I spoke with Cal Fire. They're telling me a minimum of 12. So we have different numbers there. We're obviously will comply with whatever the Cal Fire ultimately requires on our plans. It's a fairly short drive from Prancing Deer Place.
So do we need to amend that now?
So to speak to that, from an environmental perspective, we always like to analyze worst-case scenario. So from a CEQA analysis and ground disturbance perspective, we analyzed a 16-foot width driveway in corresponding with CAL FIRE, County FIRE, throughout the application process and upon their site visits. They were comfortable with a 15-foot width. The 12-foot width is not something that I'm necessarily aware of, but I know that the agent has been working directly with CAL FIRE on this. I would feel most comfortable keeping the 15-foot width at this time with the ability for the applicant, as currently conditioned, to work through their final fire safety plan, which is a standard condition of approval.
And we're, of course, flexible. Whatever CAL FIRE requires, we'll abide by.
Any other commissioner have a question or comment?
I have a question for staff. Do we need to condition the change in the screening now, or is that something that's also flexible?
Great question. Thank you. So up on the screen is the existing proposed condition 12. Zoom in a little bit more for you. And this requires that the applicant submit a final fencing plan that will indicate the type, height, and material. So this is a visual aesthetics type of mitigation that was added to the negative declaration. And the only prohibition in this condition as written is that chain link fencing is prohibited. If the commission would like me to add any additional specific language, I certainly can. At first glance, the condition requires that fences be solid and designed and installed to minimize the visibility of those improvements as viewed from public roadways.
Yeah, 12, it suggests that it's only talking about the visible aspect of it, not the sound aspect. So I think it ought to be conditioned or changed or whatever.
I think you could just suitable material to meet sound and visual.
Just to clarify, I can find in later conditions, I'm not sure which number it is, but there is a noise mitigation or condition of approval as well, separately.
Well, what does fencing should be the minimum necessary to meet FCC guidelines? Does that have to do with sound?
I would ask the agent to help me with that answer.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
On 12, one of the sentences says fencing shall be the minimum necessary to meet FCC guidelines. Does this deal with sound?
FCC doesn't have any guidelines with fencing. I'm not familiar with that.
No. It's in there.
Well, it says in item 12.
Yeah.
Fencing shall be the minimum necessary to meet FCC guidelines.
Oh, that's a condition that staff created. Yeah. I'm not sure
probably
where that comes from.
From a security standpoint.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with sound?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Commissioners, can we ask the applicant or the agent just a clarifying question? Is the noise study you did for the applicant's house or the adjacent? I wasn't clear
it's
on
all,
this.
It's all-inclusive because the county code, of course, relates to the neighboring properties.
Okay, so it was for the adjacent
right.
landowners,
that's
not
included.
For the on-site landowner.
Right, right.
Okay.
That's the analysis based on the shortest setback distance from the equipment to the neighbor
okay,
to the
thank
east.
You.
And just to follow up for Commissioner Brown and others, so condition 50 as currently written requires compliance with the county noise element decibel levels.
Here we go.
So commissioners, we could extend or expand on that condition if sound walls required or add a little comment.
Maybe the applicant could answer then. Typically, the air conditioning or cooling system, does it ever reach 65, or have you ever have a number put on those units?
It won't with the wall. The specs are at 57.
Okay. So
by putting the wall, reduces
it. So it is 57 then with the wood fence or anywhere, no fence.
Right. If it's 57, you have a wood fence, you're not going to meet the county code.
Gotcha.
But if you put the wall in, it drops off dramatically after the wall. So.
50 says 65.
So does the commission think that we should include something there?
Mr. Chairman, okay. I might suggest that we see if there's anybody else who'd like to speak to this.
Yeah, we will.
In the public hearing. And then we might want to put some conditions on.
Okay, then I will open it for public comment, but I don't have any requests to speak. Seeing no public that has an interest in speaking, I'll close public comment, bring it back to the board.
Okay, I just asked a question. Is it 65 per paragraph 50? 65 dB or...
65 decibels should not exceed that noise level from a distance of 50 feet from the generator. So 50 feet from the generator
okay.
would most likely be the residential structure on the project site.
It might also be the accessory building off the site. It's almost 50 feet.
If that is, in fact, an occupied building, that would be correct as well.
And 65 dBL in a quiet area like Ground Squirrel Hollow, it's pretty loud. So I think that we do need a condition that would put some kind of sound wall around the facility. And
certainly.
We could modify number 50, but of course, the way you guys always set up the conditions, it's conditioned to be completed prior to final building inspection. So I don't know if it throws you off if we put it on condition 50 or if we need to put it up earlier on.
That type of structure doesn't need a building permit if it's less than 6'6". So we really don't need to see the plans. We're not going to issue a permit for it.
But we want to make sure that it gets built. And it is important how it looks. So you probably do want to see some plans.
Yeah, if you add a note into 12.
Okay.
And then follow it up on 50.
Okay.
Or 51.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's just needs to be in there somewhere.
If you would like to suggest language, if I may, we would like to see the proposed aesthetic of the solid wall at time of submittal of the fencing plan. So I would suggest we could just read something into the record, or I could type it now to add that reference to any noise attenuation in the structure of the fenced wall in condition 12.
You could change 12 to say fencing or wall plan. And that meets county noise ordinance.
And the applicant already suggested if they use a certain block, it meets the requirement of an adobe earthy looking look anyway, so you don't even need to paint it.
And you could probably just change fencing to enclosure or something like that and the rest of the condition. And then whatever you guys come up with, it's covered.
Yeah, I'd suggest we could exchange fencing for fencing slash wall throughout throughout that condition.
Throughout.
Okay.
Did you get her suggestion?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in going out there, I must say that I wouldn't want to have a 60-foot fake tree in my backyard, and I wouldn't want to have my neighbor put one 40 or 50 feet or less from my accessory building, whatever it is, in my yard. But on the other hand, if ever they got noticed and nobody's here to complain,
that's right,
then I don't see why this shouldn't be approved.
I agree.
I was looking for...
Can I get a motion?
Yes, you have a motion. To approve, adopt the mitigated neg deck, and approve conditional use permit DRC 20160046 based on the findings.
Second to that motion.
I have a motion and a second. I'll call the roll, please.
And this includes the revision to condition 12 and
yes, as we discussed.
Yes.
And the second was?
Campbell.
Commissioner
okay.
Campbell.
Okay. Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. Would you like to introduce our next item of business, please, Ramona? Or should I just do it? I know.
Item number 3 is a request by the San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works for a third time extension for a development plan coastal development permit. County file number DRC 2012-00044. Supervisorial District Number 4, Project Manager Joe Manson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Joe Manson, County Planning Staff. The applicant, County Department of Public Works, is requesting a third time extension for Development Plan Coastal Development Permit DRC 2012-00044. The project, as you can note on this slide, is to construct new storm drain improvements on State Highway 1 in Oceano. A little bit of the history of the project. It was approved by the Planning Commission in March of 2013. It was subsequently appealed to the Board of Supervisors. It was approved by the Board in June of 2013, but subsequently was appealed to the California Coastal Commission. The Commission declined to take jurisdiction over the project, and their decision was dated February 13, 2014. Therefore, the project initially was valid for a period of 2 years from the California Coastal Commission decision. Therefore, it was February 13, 2016. In accordance with time extensions on land use permits, a first and second time extension was approved or authorized by the planning director, which extended the life of this particular permit to February 13, 2018. What indicated a need for a third time extension was that the project went out to bid for the construction contract in April of last year. The bids received were approximately $1.5 million more than was anticipated. Therefore, Public Works is requesting the third time extension to enable them to seek grant funding to help offset the cost of construction. Here's a vicinity map showing the project located in with the community of Oceano. The land use category designations are industrial, commercial, retail, and public facilities. And here is an aerial of the site. Within county and state rights of way, the project includes new storm water infiltrators, drain pipes, and grade modifications. On private property, as well as the county airport, The project includes new storm drain pipes, grading, a sedimentation basin, as well as ongoing maintenance and vegetation management activities. There are required findings for a third time extension for a land use permit. Substantial site work could not be completed as set forth in Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Section 23.02.042 because of circumstances beyond the control of the applicant, in this particular case, funding issues. There have been no changes to provisions of the land use element and land use ordinance applicable to the project since the approval of the original land use permit. There have been no changes to the capacities of community resources, including but not limited to water supply, sewage treatment, or disposal facilities, roads, or schools, such that there is no longer sufficient remaining capacity to serve the project. And lastly, the original findings used to justify the initial approval of this permit can still be made pursuant to Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance Section 23.02.034C4. Therefore, it is planning staff's recommendation to your commission that you conditionally approve the third time extension to be valid until February 13, 2019, for Development Plan Coastal Development Permit DRC 2012-00044, based on the findings listed in Exhibit A, and I'd like to point out that carry over the original findings and conditions outlined in the attached Board of Supervisors staff report. I'd like to note that there are representatives from the Department of Public Works here that are available to answer any questions on the project that you might have, and that concludes my presentation.
Any board members have questions for staff? Don? Oh, okay, you're... Never mind. Is there any public comment on this? Seeing no public comment, I'll close public comment. And does the Public Works like to make any comments or presentations?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Flynn with Public Works Department. This has been a long-awaited project that we've been undertaking. We began this project back in 2010, assembling multiple agencies to have this proceed. SLOCOG, Caltrans, CDBG funding, and what we're waiting on now is just FEMA money to make up the gap in the construction. This is an essential project to move forward with, as it's important for the ongoing flooding and flood damage, but also for the future revitalization of Front Street, which is another project that our department is working on. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, questions here. Two questions in one. Is the FEMA aspect of it going to happen in 1 year? And do we have the authority to spend it, to push it out more than 1 year if we so wish?
In terms of your first question, it would be we are diligently working with FEMA to ensure that the monies are encumbered this year with our intention to advertise the project this fall. That would lead to a construction in 2019. The controlling factor there is getting the NEPA determination from FEMA so that they can essentially provide the funding. We do not have a guarantee on at this point. For the second question, in terms of whether it could be extended again, my understanding is that a third extension is only good for a year, after which the applicant would have to resubmit.
I'm just concerned about FEMA, given the horrendous fires and floods and muds and this type of stuff. They're in a little bit of an uproar, I think. So
as
we just have to take it like we can, I guess.
As are we. I know when we spoke to their staff, they had pretty much said their workload is the Mount Everest of workloads.
Yeah.
I have one question for you. If the grant is awarded in August, is there any way you can complete this work by February of 2019?
What we want to do is, if we've got the guarantee on the monies coming forward, the county will loan itself the funds to go out and proceed to construction. Now, our construction window, though, really, we can't build it during the winter months. And so we're really looking at a spring 2019 construction.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right.
I'll move then on this.
Yes, I'll ask for a motion.
All right. I move that the Coastal Development Permit DRC 2012-00044, based on the findings in Exhibit A that carry over the original findings and conditions outlined in the attached Board of Supervisors staff report, I move we approve this one-year extension.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Ramona, please call the roll.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkins?
Yes.
Chairman Harrison?
Yes. And with that, that concludes the meeting agenda. Is there any member of the commission that would like to comment or ask any other questions? Seeing none, I'll ask for a motion to accept all correspondence and testimony into the record.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Do I have a motion to
motion
adjourn?
To adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.